Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second hour of the show starts right now. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city as we were transitioning from basketball in the first hour to even more news surrounding this scandal with the Astros. If you missed it, what we broke yesterday is now coming to fruition today. Carlos Beltran and the Mets have mutually agreed to part ways. He will not manage the Mets and start his first foray into managing in Major League Baseball. And the hits just keep on coming because, as Barry just mentioned last segment, whether she is Carlos Beltran's niece or not, a female that's on Twitter that has had some accurate information in the past, including yesterday when she broke before everybody else even got into it, the fact that Beltran and the Mets were going to reach an agreement to so that he wouldn't be the manager and he was out, is now saying that there were buzzers and that the buzzers were utilized and Altuve and Bregman had them wearing the shoulder area.
Yep, on their right shoulder.
It is fair to say,
pretty specific.
I think we have to mention though what the commissioner said about those buzzers.
Agree.
So on Sports Illustrated, and I did learn this from Patrick Creighton's tweet, but the quote is, "I will tell you this, we found no Band-Aid buzzer issues. There's a lot of paranoia out there." So the commissioner doesn't believe there were any buzzers.
The fact that they didn't find any doesn't mean they didn't exist.
But I'm just saying it's at least fair to mention it.
Sure.
The other thing that's fair to mention is,
and that's good, but the fact is, you know, we always talk about where there's smoke, there's fire on this show. I know I have always said that. Listen, if this continues to be an issue or you see things popping up over and over, yesterday we talked about Penn State and Franklin and, you know, the allegations at Vanderbilt and all that. But you've heard about buzzers now in four or five different scenarios surrounding this team. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
And what I've always said is the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
And just because you didn't get caught doesn't mean you didn't do it.
Right. It's speculation at this point.
Sure it is. Absolutely it is.
No one found the buzzers. Maybe someone saw it and we didn't. I don't know.
If you've got a team full of cheaters, and at this point, it's not out. I'm not out of pocket by saying that the Astros are a team full of cheaters. That is a fact. That is, baseball has come out and said, this team cheated. The players cheated. We're going to make A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow responsible for it, but it was the players that did it. And Alex Cora, it was the players that did it. So is it completely outside of the realm of possibility that they got caught doing the video portion that way with the trash can, but that later on buzzers weren't involved? Because, you know, the tweet referenced the Chapman home run. That was this year, not 2017. That was this year, 2019. So it may be that the cheating just evolved and baseball was strictly looking at 2017 and the buzzers were in play in 2019.
That's a good point.
It's a technologically advanced organization. Everybody knew that they were on the forefront of and the cusp of everything in terms of advancements from analytics to technology to everything that they were doing. And so if you also go back and you read the commissioner's comments as he got ready to levy the suspensions and the fines to the Astros, he made mention of the fact that the only thing that mattered to Jeff Luhnow and his baseball operations department was winning and the way they went about winning games. And if that's the case, then nothing's out of the realm of possibilities. Mm-mm. And if everything technologically out there was at their fingertips to be able to utilize, and these are some of the smartest guys going, whether it be in baseball or otherwise, that maybe at this point, everything that you've heard makes you believe that it's possible. As I told you when the Chris Paul thing broke and we started getting into that and I started trying to dig further and further and get both sides of it, the truth always lies somewhere in the middle. And in the middle, it really becomes, this came out a while back, but it was supposed to be in the, like you said, in the sock, in the cleat. The buzzers were all over the place. But somewhere or another, there's a buzzer, possibly.
Yeah, it just keeps popping up. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, you're not going to now get me to not believe that they were above using buzzers to cheat if they're not above cheating to begin with?
It's just so disappointing because of the fact that we've become such big fans of this team. And we constantly said they did everything the right way. They lost 100 games a year for 3 years. They built the farm system back up. They drafted correctly.
Even when they
got abused by the Cardinals guy that dug into their computer files and their system, and you're like, they're dirty. The Astros aren't. They're doing it all the right way.
I saw a tweet, by the way, on that from somebody that said, wow, it's crazy. The Astros steal signs, which everybody in baseball does. They just do it a different way. And essentially the franchise, their GM and their manager get the manager and GM get the death penalty. They're gone. And people say they may never get another job in baseball as a GM or a manager, that it's going to be something else. And then the franchise obviously loses the draft picks and the money and everything, and then the shame. But then the Cardinals do that. I mean, you know, there was criminal charges. It was a criminal act, and it wasn't as strict. And the penalty wasn't as big on the Cardinals as it was for the Astros, who basically cheated a different way than everybody else does by stealing signs.
Well,
kind of a good point when you think about it, because all this is a more sophisticated way of doing what everybody else is already doing. And Tyler sent me an outstanding email from a guy who played baseball for 20 years. He was in a World Series. I'm gonna find his name. But basically what he said is you got all these pundits, you got all these writers, all these media people who are out here making a big deal out of this sign stealing. And he's like, basically, stop messing with baseball. We all do this. We've all done it. I've stolen signs with video cameras for years now. And I did do it, and if I was in the game, I would still do it. It's what we do. We knew people were stealing our signs. Sometimes what we would do is we would steal the other team's. I would video a team. I would evaluate the video, realize what their hit-and-run sign is, and then we would make that our hit-and-run sign so that when they stole our signs, they went, damn, their hit-and-run sign is the same as our hit-and-run sign, and now I'm messing with them mentally. This goes on all the time, and you guys stop trying to change baseball. It was Tim Flannery.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Flannery. He said, for 26 years, I was in the big leagues. 10 as a player, 16 as a third base coach, 20 if you want the other years, learning the craft in the minors, Boise, Wichita, and all that. He said, he talked about all his world champions. So he said, I'm going to make a long story short. I have a video camera on every third base coach every single night. I spent hours logging tapes trying to steal your signs and finding a way to beat you. So it's going on. It's been going on. And we talked about that. Every team of baseball is probably doing this in some form or fashion, or did it in some form or fashion. And it's not something new. Stealing signs is part of baseball. They're just doing it in a more advanced way. But it apparently this is going to
it's
be
just
the new
super
steroids.
Painful for, because even when the reports came out
and
all these different things, there are so many Astros fans that are hanging on. And like you mentioned, even with FanFest, they still believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe, hey, this is just a little hiccup, and they're going to come back stronger, and it's not that bad. But then every day it gets worse, and every day more keeps coming out. But, and every day you start questioning, like,
what's going on?
Yeah, and how bad it really was.
So we've named the names, right? We know Red Sox. We know Astros. We've talked about the Yankees are probably going to get popped at some point, especially with Beltran was an assistant to the GM. We've talked about Huggins told me he had heard Padres. I saw reports that the White Sox were in. In this article this Facebook post that Tim Flannery says, after he says, I looked for ways to beat you, you as well did it. In New York, I knew the Valentine Mets did it. I knew the Cubs did it. I knew the D-backs, St. Louis did it. I caught them. That's when the fun begins.
He liked it. He got a thrill.
It's part of baseball for these guys.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Joel, you've done that before, right? You've stolen signs, right? At the college level?
No. But some people might say that I gave up a few.
Based on your ERA?
They could figure out what I was doing pretty quick.
That's funny.
But no. So, look.
It's really good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this link. I'm going to tweet it. I highly recommend you all go read this. If you're upset and sad and down about your Astros, don't worry. They're not doing anything else. They just got in trouble for it because Mike Fiers is a bitch-ass snitch.
Now, 100% we're going to get to that in a second, too, because there's somebody that's on the national scene on national TV during the season with a prominent role in baseball, Jess Mendoza, who had plenty to say about one Mike Fiers, and we're going to get to that when we come back from the break. Before we do that, though, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a long time. If you're looking at put a new roof on your house, or you just have a leaky roof, or you've been thinking about making some roof repairs, there's only one place to call. It's Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them, 832-521-3001. Call them because you get a free no-obligation inspection today. You call them, they come to see what they can do. They tell you what they can do, and they go away. You want them to come back? Just reach back out. They'll be back, and they'll do fantastic work. So much so, they have the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. What that tells you right there is they're here for the long haul, and they're going to take care of you, not these deposit thieves and storm chasers that get your money up front and do shoddy work and then leave town. They are here to take care of Houstonians. They use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles, so much so they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. That's why you go to Fitz. Quite simply, their base warranties are longer than your average roofer, and they're going to do better work. Check them out, FITZRoofing.com, or call for that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Obviously the story that everybody wishes would go away. It just won't, is the cheating scandal in baseball. We already covered Rockets in hour number one. No news, unfortunately, on Kirby at NRG for the Texans. So we continue with all of the latest news.
I got to burn all my Texans socks.
I didn't know where you were going there, but okay.
Well, it wasn't going to be a jersey.
No, I know, because you don't wear them.
No.
But we had teased before the break. Jess Mendoza was on Get Up this morning, and they were asking her about Mike Fiers' role in all of this. And it goes back to a discussion or discussions we've had on this show about, look, whether you call it bro code, you know, teammate, you know, agreement,
how about
whatever
not
it
just
is, unwritten
a snitch
rule of baseball. Yeah, and Nick's been very passionate about, you just don't snitch, you don't tattle, you just don't do these things. And the fact that it's rolled over into other sports, like when we said when KD and Kendrick Perkins got into it, but more so from a baseball perspective. What is the perspective? She's in the front office of the Mets, but she covers baseball, does Sunday Night Baseball every week for ESPN and covers baseball regularly for ESPN. She's around the game, the players, everything like that. What's her take on Mike Fiers?
You have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is right. What's going right. on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened, but it came from within. It was a player that was a part of it, that benefited from it during the regular season when he was a part of that team. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
I've been a fan of Jess Mendoza's work before.
I'm a big fan now.
But even more so now.
She is, first of all, she is outstanding in the broadcast booth.
Yep.
why she's not more popular and a bigger name in baseball broadcasting, but she's really, really good at what she does.
It's amazing to me that she's not a snitching asshole, but Mike Fiers is. It's amazing to me.
Somebody texted and said, where there's smoke, there's fires. That's a really good text.
Fantastic.
Really good text.
Text of the week, possibly.
Yeah. That's
and
really
the other thing that, you know, she was on Get Up. That was from Mike and Wingo. She made the circuit on ESPN this morning. I give her credit, too, because she working for the Mets. I mean, with this Beltran thing going down.
Yeah.
She put herself out there that way, too. But when you talk about all of this, and then she and Mike Greenberg later, I guess, got into their ways of solving this. You and I talked about this the other day. If technology is so great on the side of being able to cheat, technology should also be to a point where you can figure out a way so that the signal stealing isn't an issue anymore. Whether you do it with an earpiece, whether you do it with hats, whether you do it, like we said, with remote, a little, you know, remotes
like
on the wristbands
have
or otherwise.
Big signs with four corners and have four people holding up different signs, and now you have no idea which one is which.
Yeah, whichever way you do it, if you're that technologically advanced to steal signs, shouldn't you be somewhat gifted with technology to the point where you could do something about this?
Yeah.
That's something that they need to look, if you're going to have all the different things that they've experimented in the past, from robo umps to, you know, the strike zone to everything else that they've been trying, there has to be a way that they could formulate something to kind of put this to rest.
But again, I go back to what Tim Flannery was talking about. It's a part of the game. It's always been a part of the game. It's been done in different ways, but it's always been a part of the game. Whether it's a guy sitting in the bleachers with binoculars, writing down every sign in a game and charting it, and then they look at it that night so that they have it for the next day. Whether it's using old school video cameras and VHS tapes and looking at them like Tim Flannery did, or whether it's now when you have a live feed or the Yankees move the Yes camera and fixate it on the bench coach in the opposing team's dugout? Because, yeah, the Yankees did do that and got busted for it. So stop acting like the Yankees haven't done this. But it's evolved, but it's always been a part of the game.
You know what the funny thing is?
How about you just say, you know what? We don't care.
Baseball's behind the
times. Steal whatever sign you want. You know what? It's on the other team to figure out how to give the signs without them getting stolen. That's on you.
But the other funny thing is baseball's behind the times.
Why?
Because this was the whole Patriots deal years ago with their sign stealing.
Yeah.
Videotape. You know, obviously the tapes were a big evidence thing in the process. But look, it's been going on in other sports. It goes on in baseball. The problem is it's just got too it's involved too much technology. And it's one of those things where I think that people have known about this for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, Tim Flannery, 26 years in the game.
You're going with Tim Flannery, and then you know, Nick had dug up, I don't know if you, one of you guys dug up, but it was brought up to me on Twitter yesterday as well, that the guys knew quietly that were in the Astros dugout in 17 and moved on to other places. Mm-hmm. They knew what was going on and that wherever they went, they were going to continue to have it go on to the level that they did in Houston.
Yeah. Brian McCann goes to the Braves, back to the Braves. You don't think he didn't take anything with him? Any knowledge of how to do this? You don't think that Mike Fiers, well, he probably, you know, I think the thing with Fiers, by the way, you mentioned this, I think it was, but the fact that he was left off the World Series roster is probably why he came out and was a snitch
asshole.
And
he even came out and said he had an axe to grind. He was bitter towards the Astros.
So that's also, you know, it's neither here nor there, but it's just, it's a sad state of affairs that, sorry, bro. You throw pus. What did you want them to do?
But to the point of what we were talking about, too.
I'm sure, I mean, Alex Cora
did. So Alex Cora did, right?
Carlos Beltran did.
And those are the two names named in the report, right?
Exactly. And in fact,
yes,
there was some audio that came out again that had, when the Red Sox played the Yankees
in London.
The amount of runs that were put up were football-esque. It was a lot of scoring going on. It was more scoring than prom night. And Alex Cora came out, and listen to what he says about Carlos Beltran.
How's just how you feel? Obviously, your pitchers took a beating these last couple of days.
It wasn't a good weekend on the field. That's a good offensive team. We know that. They're a lot better than last year. The attention to detail is phenomenal. I was joking with somebody that their biggest free agent acquisition is Carlos Beltran.
He winked right there.
I know how it works, you know. He's helping a lot.
You know, they're paying attention to details, and we had to clean our details. It was eye-opening the last 2 days, from top to bottom. And I'm not saying, you know, devices and all that stuff. It's just stuff that the game will dictate and will scream at people. And it's right there. And throughout the evening, you know, I was looking, and I saw it, you know. And right now, they're a lot better than us. So we need to get better.
Bro, he literally
it's
just
screaming
said.
Screaming it without
he
saying
literally
it.
Just, he mentions the word devices. He mentions, I was looking and seeing it. Like, it's so obvious.
Fair translation is.
These guys were teammates in 2017.
And the thing
Carlos
is.
Carlos Beltran was the DH and right fielder for the Astros, yeah. And Alex Cora was the bench coach.
And he can't get mad.
And now they're Yankees and they're Red Sox, and they're both cheating the same way they did with the Astros. And Alex Cora literally just gave you all the clues that they're both doing it.
And he can't get mad. Because he knows that he's a victim of his own circumstance.
He's
he created this in part. And so he can't get mad when guys go to other teams and keep doing what he was doing and they were doing when they were in Houston.
I just think that audio is fascinating. And it didn't dawn on you at the time. But when you go, when knowing what we know now and you hear that, it's like, oh yeah, again, everybody's doing this.
He basically said just they were cheating better than us, and we need to be better at cheating.
We need to be better at fooling them as they watch us with their video cameras. We need to mix up our signs better.
When he tells you that he's the most important free agent acquisition of the offseason.
And winked. You couldn't see it because it's audio, but he literally says Carlos Beltran, and then he winks. Come on, man. I mean, you're basically saying, I know what he's doing over there because I'm doing it too. And we did it in Houston. That's where we perfected it.
And to get back to the Mike Fiers thing, the difference was they weren't tattling on anybody. This was the unwritten rule of just like, you know, like to Jess Mendoza's point. Guys maybe changed their signs a little bit more when they played certain teams. Guys maybe paid more attention to detail when they played certain teams. But amongst the underbelly of Major League Baseball just talking amongst themselves, like you said, everybody was doing it and they knew about it. And team to team, when you went from team to team, maybe they had a different method of doing it. Maybe they used different technology, or, you know, instead of a garbage can, they had some other way of the relay system. But the fact of the matter was, everybody was in their video rooms and on their tablets and using whatever they had as terms of resources to try and figure stuff out.
Well, when we talk about stealing signs from second base, what we're really talking about is you've already done the recon work. It's not like someone is standing on second. I don't want people to understand this because I don't think that they do. But what we're not saying is there aren't people standing on second base looking at what the catcher does and figuring it out in real time. That has already been resolved through recon, whether it be like what Flannery was saying with video from the games previous and you're on game four of a four-game series and now you have all that data, or whether it be with a guy in the stands just watching, or people on your bench watching the other bench and the other coaches and everything, a third base coach who gives the signs. You chart all that, you figure it out, so that when you're standing on second base and you see them drop down 1-3, 1-1-3, you know that what the sequence is and what the pitch would be. You put a hand on the left or a right, or you outside, inside, or whatever, but it's all been predetermined. So the point is that people have been charting and stealing the signs and what they are and then relaying that. And when they're on second base, they're able to use that information. That's been going on. You're not going to stop that. You're just not. Unless you eliminate signs in baseball. That is literally the only way to stop it. And like you said, get an earpiece. If you want to do it, get an earpiece.
Well, don't stop listening because we've got another half of the show to go. Second half is right around the corner. Plenty more to get to. Join us, won't you? 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, on a positive note, the Astros and George Springer reached an agreement and avoided arbitration.
They avoided arbitration?
$21 million.
Good deal.
He'll be an Astro
and batteries for the
one
buzzer
more
on his,
year, and then he is free.
Yep.
And that is going to be interesting because based on the big one-year deals that were signed in Boston by Jackie Bradley Jr. and Mookie Betts, also expiring at the end of the year, and George Springer being a Connecticut kid, watch that closely, especially if all this continues all year long.
I think Astros, if all this continues, it's going to be continuing with the Red Sox. So jumping from one cheating organization to the other isn't going to matter. Going home, I think, would be important to him. But I think at the end of the day, just like any other Major League Baseball player, money is going to rule any and overrule any other factor in that decision. So if the Astros want to keep George Springer, they're going to have the opportunity. They have, I think, being able to avoid arbitration with him is a really good olive branch and a big step forward for them. And saying, look, you're important to our franchise. You're important to our organization. You always have been. We're sorry that we had to disrespect you by paying you $500,000 for a couple years. That's just how baseball works. No hard feelings. You know, we should have brought you up earlier. No hard feelings. That was another regime. That wasn't this regime. Or that was two regimes ago now, essentially. So I think, you know, you have that opportunity because you're two GMs away from the decisions that affected George Springer when he was coming up.
Like you said, plus money talks.
And they opened the checkbook for him.
Come to Josh Donaldson type money, if you give him 4 and 92 with the potential to have 5 and over $100 million at 31 years old, he'll probably
Got a $9.5 million raise.
Yep.
That's pretty, and didn't have to go to arbitration to get it or possibly lose it.
And they always say, like we say too, meet in the middle. He wanted 21.5. He wanted 21 or 22 and a half. They were offering 17 and a half. The fact that he got 21
and a half,
they're trying to give you a little bit more. They're trying to do what they can do.
Oh, yeah.
So there's at least one positive is George Springer's back in the fold. Henry's been waiting a long time. We appreciate him. He wants to talk Astros. Henry, what's up?
What's happening, fellas?
What's up, man?
Man, I tell you, I would love to work with you guys. It is just too funny up there, man. I promise you it is. Listen, so I'm old school. Played sports. I don't know. I thought sign stealing was part of the game. I mean, that's just what I thought. You know, I mean, we watch video. I play football. So, I mean, before the next game, we watch videos. We look at the scheme. We look at the play. We rehearse the plays. I mean, we know the plays that the other team we're about to play. That's part of preparation. I would assume it's the same thing in baseball. I mean, you're looking for ways to have an advantage. How is sign stealing, in my opinion, illegal or wrong, regardless of how you do it? I mean, this is the whole reason why the NFL coaches have the big old play cards above their mouth, because they know video cameras and technology, you know, can catch, you know, lip reading. I mean, the guys in the NFL are sitting down with the Surface iPad, literally going over the plays as it's happening. That's not stealing. That's not illegal. That's not wrong. But you're trying to tell me, because I got video of you using signs that I visibly can see with my face, with my own two eyes, right? I've 9 out of 10 looked at your plays or your game before, and I'm trying to find ways on how to beat you looking at your pictures. I mean, this is part of preparation. How is that wrong or illegal, other than the buzzers and all that good stuff? So, I mean, I'm not talking about that, but literally just basic sign stealing is illegal?
I'm with you, Henry. I've never thought to me, it's just a part of the game. It's like, you know, it's like a lot of other. It's like you don't bunt to break up a no hitter. You don't. It's just part of the game. It's one of those things that's always been there.
I've said this in the past. They did it to themselves because you encourage the fact that it's been a part of the game forever. So you're basically admitting that it's been going on for as long as the game's been played. The problem is the methodology and the fact that they're using technology, and they did this to themselves in another regard because they approved technology. So they approved the iPads. They approved all the video technology. There's a reason why every professional sports team years ago got a video room and a video coordinator and then took it to another level by videoing every game. As Henry was saying, there's a reason why they knew every single play the other team would run because they watched tape. But it backfired because Now you can say, on one hand, hey, it's been going on since the start of time. Everybody's been stealing signals. But the fact that they're doing it a way that now you're offended by.
Now it's a big deal.
Yeah, and you did it to yourself.
Yep.
So.
By the way, I looked it up real quick just to see where it ranks. George Springer's $21.5 million salary for next year puts him third among all center fielders. Behind, obviously, Mike Trout and Yoenis Cespedes.
Who's still cleaning up after that stupid injury and how bad he's been.
He's $29.5 million is what he'll make in 2020.
Was it a mule or something that kicked him or some stupid stuff?
Yeah. So, but good for George. I mean, he's earned that right. No, he's one of the best center fielders in baseball.
I'm a big Springer fan. Me too. I think he deserves it. And look, again, we talk about all the stats and everything like that, and people go, well, he was hurt. But guess what? When he's not, he makes you so much better. And the fact that the intangibles are what he brings to the clubhouse. What he brings in terms of being the igniter and being the emotional leader and getting guys and keeping them really fired up and also having fun. He has so much value to this franchise or any team he plays for, and I'm glad he's going to be on the Astros for at least another year. And I'm hopeful that they can work out a deal to keep him
here. He was ranked as far as value last year. Okay, and this is just all contracts across the board. To give you an idea, Christian Yelich was the highest value as far as what he produced versus what he got paid. Mm-hmm. George Springer was 10th on that list, right behind Aaron Judge.
And here's the thing. If he doesn't get hurt.
Check this out now. Aaron Judge made $600,000 last year. He was 9th on the value list. George Springer made 12, and he was right behind him at 10. That'll tell you, getting $12 million, and you're still the 10th most valuable contract in baseball, that shows you how much he's producing. Because everyone else on that list is making, you know, vastly less than $12 million, except for, I think, one person, Mike Trout maybe, was on that list at like 7.
If he doesn't get hurt, he's an MVP candidate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't miss that significant amount of time, people forget. He still was an all-star. Why? Because the start he got off to and all the numbers he was throwing across the board, I mean, we might be talking about Mike Trout as a second-place finisher if George was healthy the whole year.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to point from a baseball perspective, well, the knock is he can't stay healthy. Well, we can say that about a lot of guys, including Mike Trout at the end of the year or Aaron Judge for several years. You can point fingers all over, but you know what? You're a better ball club when he's on the field for you. And unlike Carlos Correa, it's not for lack of just 100% effort, and it's all on the field. It's not from a masseuse.
Yeah, no, so. Agree.
Can we make fun of Mad Dog next segment?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, I just want to mention, you know, the Twins signed Josh Donaldson to a 5-year deal. You talk about overpaying. They gave that dude $23 million a year.
It was 4 and 92 with an option.
Something, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Unbelievable that how much they overpaid for that dude.
And by the way, if they don't pick up the 5th-year option, he gets $8 million to walk away.
He's just stealing money.
I mean, can we get that in radio?
Golly.
I'm telling you. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Deep in hour number 2, 3-hour show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Keep it tuned right here. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go on a Thursday in Houston as we head towards an F Yeah Friday. F for funny, comedian of the week. F for football, big weekend in the NFL with the conference championship games. F for, all the different cheating. And
that's maybe, a C.
No, I don't give a F because evidently they didn't.
Okay.
F for firings, but not happening on Kirby. So lots to get to. Nick mentioned before the break, Mad Dog, formerly of Mike and the Mad Dog, now Mad Dog on MLB Network, Mr. Charlie Polillo on Speed. He is Mr. New York. He's obviously a big blowhard for the Yankees. He chimed in, and boy, just on pronunciation alone of the Astros players, come on, dude. You got to do better. But you'll get a kick out of this, and then it'll also probably piss you off. But here was his take on the Astros.
You know what they have to say? So all these great Astro players who won a championship and two pennants, that's all now in question. So they're dead. All of them are dead. I don't want to hear a word out of them. And where's Verlander? Where is he? I mean, Verlander's got a lot to say about everything. He had no idea what was going on. They won a World Series. He pitched Game 6 against the Yankees. He pitched Game 2 against the Yankees. Where is Verlander? He can't shut him up. Where is his comments now? Where is him? Let me hear him. Where are they? Now the Astro players, Gurriel, El Tuve, Bregman, Correa, all these guys got a lot to say. Verlander got thousands of things to say. Verlander's kicking guys out of the media room because there's like the fact they said something bad about him in the Detroit Free Press. Right, Bregman, you can't get a microphone away from him. I mean, all of them, they got a cocky attitude, they're arrogant, everything else. Let me hear what the Astros have to say now. They got the GM fired, they got the manager fired, they got the owner fined $5 million, and they lost four draft picks, first and second, in the next 2 years, in the next foreseeable future. And the championship is tainted. Let me hear what the Astros have to say now, when spring training rolls around, when they go to Yankee Stadium in September. Let me hear what they have to say now. Bregman, who cheated. Altuve, cheated. Gurriel, and I don't want to hear anybody say, well, Altuve doesn't want to know what the strike zone is anyway with the pitchers. I heard that excuse this week. Well, you know, he doesn't like to know what the pitchers are. Nonsense. Cheating.
God, that guy's annoying AF. Oh, my goodness.
He's like Stephen A.
How does
speed.
That dude have a job? How do people sit there and listen to him talk like that? I guess if you're a Yankee from out east and you just, like, that just sounds normal to you. But good Lord, that sounded like nails on a chalkboard.
That's Stephen A. on speed.
Cheating!
Dude. And it's like, you know what he is?
I cannot wait for the Yankees to get busted. I want to call that dude's show and be like, you're a dumbass. You really think the Yankees were clean and all this?
He's like the auctioneer on
idiot.
Storage Wars because he just kept getting faster.
I don't know how.
Gurriel cheated. Bregman cheated. Altuve cheated. We talk about the Yankees going to come in September. And then they're going to do this. And they're going to do that. Cheated.
Shut up. Where is Verlander? He's a pitcher, you dumbass. That's where Verlander is. He's not going to comment on what's going on at the plate. Shut up.
Who cheated. Altuve cheated.
God. Some of the people in this business, you wonder, how do you get so big and so popular when you're clearly awful at this?
I just don't know where he gets that energy from. He's definitely on Adderall at the very minimum. At the very minimum.
I get, too, that Yankee fans are upset, Dodger fans are upset because of the fact that they feel like they got cheated. But at the same time, be careful how many stones you throw until every stone is unturned.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that we've said this before. Jeff Passan and all these people that are somehow terrified or scared of the mighty empire of the Yankees, and we don't want to ruffle those feathers, and we don't want to do that and talk about the similar situations that you bashed with the Astros and other teams. You don't want to even bring up touch or address with teams like with the Yankees. It's annoying. We said that Logan Morrison pointed a finger directly at the Dodgers and said, believe me, they were doing it.
Add
too.
Add it to the list of you the know, other three. He said Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, Dodgers.
I've mentioned several times Judge and the iPads and all the other things, and the fact that they were doing things too. Beltran was there as the bench coach 2 years ago. Don't tell me he didn't at least bring it up.
I just can't wait. All these self-righteous Dodgers fans, Mario Lopez comes out. Shut up, Dimples. No one cares what you think, first of all. You work for Access Hollywood. Who cares? But he's all like complaining that they should give the Dodgers the World Series. No, the Dodgers got beat at home, dumbass. The Dodgers lost Game 7 at home. It's impossible to cheat with the buzzers at home, idiot. They lost. In fact, if you go back and look at the runs scored by the Astros, they went 2-2 in Dodger Stadium. They put up 6 runs and like 5 runs on 2 different occasions. Shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Did you see the legislators now that have filed documents they want an official government ruling to give them
stay
the 2017 and 18
you just worry ridiculous. Yeah, you just worry about politics and stay out of sports.
Don't
waste taxpayer money looking into this.
Just dumb.
Don't waste taxpayers' money. I don't want my hard-earned money investigating baseball. Let them investigate themselves.
Wes wants to get in here. Ben Holding, we appreciate you. Sign stealing. What's up, Wes?
Hey, guys. I really appreciate the show. And Yeah, Mad Dog, I don't know what it is with nothing against people with speech impediments, but how do these guys go to the front of the line? Oh my! I can't touch the dial quick enough when I hear that moron. But look, my statement is this. I coached baseball and basketball for 35-plus years. We were always looking for an edge. And to tell me that a pitcher and a catcher don't know that there's a drum banging in the clubhouse and that there might be something going on, you deserve to have your sign stolen. And if it's me, I'm a pitcher. I can't. If a guy's sitting on a pitch that I know he's going to hit, or catcher, we know what's going on. That we might have had a strike here and there where we got a hit, but I guarantee you there are multiple teams doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of baseball. Baseball's 162 games long. The guys have nothing better to do than look for an edge. And yes, when I coach, I stole signs. And you know what? We had aluminum bats.
You cheated!
I kept my bat on top of the metal dugout. You know why? Because it was hot.
Yep.
And when those bats get hot, you get extra pop. So for all these hypocritical little guys like Mad Dog, who probably never played the game, they just watch the game. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's part of the game.
Yep.
My God. Let's just move on. It's
good call,
unbelievable.
Wes. Appreciate you, buddy. Yep. Thank you.
Well done.
And look, Mad Dog's played the game. He's played softball with Charlie on Sunday.
Probably.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, and I wouldn't doubt that Charlie knows it.
They're both East Coast Yankees. I could see that. By the way, somebody texted the show and said, was that Patrick Creighton? Y'all ain't right for that. Y'all ain't right for that at all. And someone else texted and said, but he's right. How come Verlander isn't talking? He's right. Verlander talks. Where's he at now? Because there's a gag order. That's the stupidest part about his whole take. There's a gag order by MLB that's saying, we don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Don't comment on this. You're going to get fined and you're going to make it worse.
The thing is, that's more importantly. If you do comment, any teams, any personnel, if you do comment, there's more fines to be had.
All that is just him being flamboyant for no reason, Mad Dog, you dumbass. They can't comment. They can't talk.
Nothing.
But congratulations,
bothers me more.
You got some run down here, but I promise you didn't make any fans because no one wants to hear you talk.
Nothing bothers me more than these people on national shows that blowhard the hell out of their teams and show their, like Kerry Champion on SportsCenter, always blowing hard for the Lakers and all the and her LA connection. Mad Dog, if you're going to be on MLB Network, you speak for all the teams and you talk about it objectively.
Yeah. No,
you don't
doesn't.
Go off and do that.
No, he doesn't. And by the way, Tyler sent us something else. I mentioned earlier about the Tim Flannery thing. The hits just keep on coming. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because of the second part. I'm going to read this. It's a little lengthy, but trust me, it's worth it when I get to the second part of it. This is from David Brosius. Okay?
Brosius.
He says, my dad was the third base coach for the Mariners in 2017. The Mariners knew they were cheating. Every team did. The MLB did. He knew exactly how they were doing it in 2017. The MLB just wasn't going to do anything about it until the public found out. My dad would give fake signs at third, acting like he knew what the Astros pitchers were going to do and were going to throw, and Cora and Hinch would scream at him, calling it Bush League. How weird is that? He went on to say, if you want to read something better, this is so great that everyone is just shooting shots. If you want to read something better, Mike Trout takes HGH for a, quote, thyroid condition. It's a loophole he found, and the MLB doesn't make it public because they don't want the fans knowing their best players on HGH. But people within know, thought you'd appreciate it since you're a Dodgers fan. Bro, it's just everybody's
such a
like
horrible look.
Everybody's
for baseball.
Like, we're burning this whole sport down.
No wonder Rob Manfred put the gag order on because he's afraid it's crumbling right before his eyes.
But the beautiful thing is it's everyone that used to be in baseball coming forward and going, "Oh, you think that's cheating? Well, check out this. This is better cheating.
They're not even good."
And by the way, I'll just go on record to say you can look at Mike Trout and I would believe that statement.
The HGH thing?
Oh, I would believe that statement in a heartbeat.
HGH has been in MMA. It's been around.
Mike Trout isn't some skinny little kid out there playing center field. Dude is ripped.
HGH, human growth hormone.
Yeah. For his thyroid is the story. They just don't make it public. I wonder if I Googled it, if there's anything out there. Let's see. I'll Google it at the break. Mike Trout, HGH. Let's see what we find, yeah?
Well, that's just one reason why you should stay tuned for hour number three of the big show as we continue to roll on. We've got 60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.